We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, Friday Fives episode. I believe this is number 540. We're recording this after a disappointing loss, but I would like to start the show, Scott.
Two of five. I know what you're going to say. I don't need you to say it. I already know what you're going to say.
Okay, what am I going to say?
Two of my five bold predictions are now done.
Mm-hmm.
One and a half.
Not even 1 month through the season.
One and a half, because Nick Nelson still has an opportunity to come back and light the world on fire.
Yep, but 1 month into the season and the Yankees have lost three games to the Orioles. Unacceptable, especially after how this series went down with the debacle on Monday, which we recorded in episode four. If you didn't check that out, Scott, you had an epic rant on Boone and just the Yankees' just utter lack of fundamentals, which is another takeaway we'll have here. But the getaway day today, a loss in extra innings. You got Tyler Wade on the roster, who's here because Talkman's no longer here. And Tyler Wade can't bunt. I don't know how that's possible.
I have spoken my piece about Tyler Wade, and I people misconstrue what I say about him, but the reason I say that I like him in a position is because I like him as the last guy on the bench to run the bases, play defense, and bunt. But if you can't bunt, if you can't do anything of the play, like serviceable, just sacrifice your body for the ball. The form was awful. The execution was awful.
Terrible.
The approach was awful.
Terrible.
Everything about it was just terrible, and it was embarrassing. Tyler Wade cannot hit major league pitching. I've never said he could, but I tweeted like legitimately. I'm being dead serious. Only practice bunting. That's it. Defense, bunting, running bases. That's it. when people are taking batting practice, you take bunting practice. That's what you do every single time. Like, just be filthy at bunting. But no, he can't even be serviceable. That's embarrassing. I don't understand his, at this point, it's only because there's no other shortstop. That's why he's here. That's the reason he's here.
Yeah, there's really no excuse for any, I always equate it to an NBA player who can't hit a free throw. It's like, how do you get to the NBA level and not be able to hit a free throw at a decent enough level? I'm not expecting you to be Ray Allen hitting 99% of your free throws, but don't give me like 60% or something like that.
Well, the difference is you can be 7 feet tall, not hit a free throw, but you're 7 feet tall. So you can do the things that nobody else can do because you're 7 feet tall. You have a physical gift that's different than everybody else. And you are blessed with the right. height of a big man.
And Tyler when it Wade, comes to baseball
Tyler
players.
Wade is not that. Tyler Wade is not that. He has the gift to run and the ability to get down the base path quickly. So bunt. Learn how to bunt. Because even if they're expecting it, it actually might be a difficult out and probably a higher percentage of you getting on base than swinging away at this point.
Yeah, and I know a lot of players.
But apparently not.
I know a lot of players, the sack bunt for them is actually harder than bunting for a base hit. And then to that, I say, fine, then just try and bunt for a base hit and it'll hopefully get the runner over. But what he did up there, which was basically close his eyes and hope the ball hits the bat and goes down the third baseline is just unacceptable. And then once there's two strikes on him, after the first two attempts, you saw him with those first two attempts, you got to take the bunt off because what's his batting average? Like 150? That's better than him getting the bunt down at that point.
You can still roll a ball over to the right side and right. he's a lefty bat. You roll a ball over to the right side and you get the job done. Yeah, I'm much...
So it goes back to Aaron Boone not knowing what the hell he is doing. He doesn't have a feel for the game that's happening in front of his eyes. Maybe he had a feel for it in 2018. He lost a little bit of that. They kept sucking it out of him and sucking it out of him. And right now, he is just a shell of himself. He's afraid to make decisions. He has to consult with people. And then that challenge at the end of the game, which had no chance of getting overturned because they never freaking overturned those things, was just in reaction to what he did on Monday night. Not challenging. He just wanted to show people, hey, look, I can challenge right away. It was the last out of the game. You literally had nothing to lose. So yeah, fine. Great. Congratulations on challenging that play that had no chance. You asshole.
That and also the last play of the game is a fly ball to center field with Aaron Hicks, who can't throw the ball anymore. That's very clear. He's got nothing on it. And it was an abysmal throw up the line. There was no chance at happening. But let's look at that situation again now. There was a runner on third, no runner on first, no runner on second base, and probably the Orioles' best hitter up at the plate. I mean, you could make an argument that Mancini's their best hitter, but Mullins has been their hottest hitter. He's been killing the Yankees. Lefty bat going up against Loaiza. Why not walk him? Why not walk him? Put the force on. He may just take second base. That's fine. Who cares? But you're at least getting to a better matchup with Hayes up next. At least you're going righty righty at that point, and you're giving Loaiza a little more of an opportunity to get out of that. Look, it didn't work. It should have been a closer play at home. But this is another opportunity of a little gamesmanship to like potentially put yourself in a better position.
Double
to
play get situation an or out. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. There was nothing there. We're like, let's just go. Let's just go.
Yeah, it's terrible. He's just an awful in-game manager. There's no other way to put it. He's just an awful in-game manager who doesn't have a feel for what's happening, and it's losing the Yankees games. Okay, let's get to the takeaways from the week. The first one, Mike Tauchman is no longer a New York Yankee, traded to the San Francisco Giants for Wandy Peralta, a left-handed reliever, and a player to be named later. Love the PTBNL. Always got to love that when that comes into a trade. But this trade is... came out of nowhere.
It was a surprise. There's no doubt. I think it was a shock. I'll say it was especially knowing how the front office coveted Mike Tauchman. It was a shock.
The Yankees were shopping Mike Tauchman in the offseason and into spring training as they realized that they're going to have a 40-man roster crunch. But the asking price that the Yankees were putting on Tauchman was very high, too high for what he's produced at the major league level, which is essentially a 6-week hot stretch in 2019. He got his opportunity in 2020. He got
how many, I put it in here. He had pretty regular playing time in 2020 when the Yankees had all those injuries. And he hit 242 with a 79 OPS plus and zero home runs. So he had opportunity in 2020. He just didn't produce. He said he was banged up, I think. And then he came in this year and they haven't used him for anything except defense and pinch running.
Yeah, it was. So they bolstered down. They got another left-handed pitcher, relief pitcher that has options. So it gives them flexibility in the roster. But yeah, it was a 40-man problem. There's no doubt about it. They had too many goddamn outfielders out there. And they needed another shortstop. They needed another player to play shortstop behind.
It speaks to poor roster construction. That's why Talkman was traded.
This is a problem that should have been addressed much earlier than right now. And they were forced, almost forced into a situation to get rid of Talkman at zero value at this point. Yep. They completely lost out on that. And they got a middling lefty reliever that will probably do nothing for the New York Yankees.
Once they re-signed Gardner, Mike Talkman had no place on this team. And it's a shame because I think Talkman, I agree with them. I think Talkman could be a decent fourth outfielder. He can play all the positions. He's a very good base runner. And you know what I bet he can also do? I bet he can sack bunt. But the Yankees had no play. There's no room for a fifth outfielder, really, in today's game, where you, especially in the American League, where you're not pinch hitting a bunch and all that stuff. There's just no place for Mike Talkman on this team. So they got a lefty reliever. Here's some good things on him. He's got a mid-90s fastball. He's a lefty reliever, and he's got a high ground ball rate of 50%. Here's the bad. In 192 career innings, he's got a 4.72 ERA and a 4.58 Sierra, which is skill interactive ERA. It's just nerd ERA. And a 10.8% walk rate. I don't know what this guy is. This is basically the equivalent of a bag of balls and some chewing gum for a player. And maybe the Giants are thinking, oh, Mike Talkman is a bag of balls and some chewing gum. But
potentially a little bit more upside.
Potentially a little bit more upside. People were upset.
Well, of course they are, because the Yankees have spoken so highly of Mike Talkman, and they did see that three or that month, however many weeks it was, of him being Mike Trout, and people saw a glimpse of like massive upside there that just hasn't shown itself again, because it was enough for me to lose a bet, which is really freaking annoying, to be honest. It's very annoying, the fact that he hit the amount of home runs in that small amount of time and like out of the blue pulled this out of his ass for me to enough to lose a bet. To at some point, have to proclaim Sonny Gray as my daddy at Yankee Stadium after I chug a beer.
You'll always have that memory.
Yeah, but I mean, it's unbelievable how he put that together. And yes, I think that when you look at the value and how this came about, it's also because it was a direct result of not having another shortstop on the roster. I believe that. I firmly believe that they needed to have another player there to solve this defense in case something happened, because they would be in a very bad position if they didn't have someone to play backup shortstop if someone were to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I go back to the poor roster construction for this trade. Okay. What's up?
All right.
What's up next?
Number two, Higgy has taken the starting job. That's a fact for now. But
yeah,
you posed a question on Twitter. Hold on a second.
I was going to ask.
You posed a question on Twitter that I thought was interesting enough to retweet. And I said, and you said, not me, you said it, did Higgy take the job, or did Gary lose the job? And it's an interesting question, because I think it's both sides have merit. I think overwhelmingly, in my opinion, though, Higgy took the job. And I think it's because he performed at a much superior level, not only in front of with the bat in his hand, because he has, and he's a much better receiver of the ball right now. And it's very clear that the pitchers on the New York Yankees, the starting pitchers, they like throwing to Higgy better. And if they admit that or not, that's out, I don't know. But the results absolutely say Higgy's a better receiver. He calls a better game. These guys throw better to Higgy. Bottom line, they're just winning more games. They're more productive.
Well, that fact can't be denied.
That's happening.
It's that the Yankees win more games when Higgy starts than when Sanchez starts, especially recently on this trip. Well, according to ex-Yankee Mike Talkman, everyone in the clubhouse loves Gary Sanchez. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. I guess Talkman liked a tweet bashing Sanchez, and then some internet sleuth found it, and then Talkman had to reply to it. But okay, so you say Higgy won the job. Do you put it? Do you do a percent breakdown, or is it just like, yep, Higgy won it, or is there a percent breakdown?
I think that what Boone is doing for whoever's pulling the strings at this point is saying that right now
Cashman's hand is so far up at,
right now
ass
the job of the New York Yankees starting catcher is being played much better by Higgy, and that's where it is. So
Sanchez lost the job.
If Higgy weren't playing well, then he wouldn't have lost the job doing the same thing. So what's the difference? Higgy played well, therefore he won the job.
Okay, but I think if Sanchez were playing better, then he would not have lost the job.
Okay.
So then you have to put some... Okay, here's how I break it down. 60% Higgy won, 30% Gary lost, 10% Garrett Boone's Cole won the job for Higgy by him being Garrett Cole's personal catcher and him basically having so much trust in Higgy, talking up Higgy so much that it's even
the Kluber's over there like, you know what?
It's worn into other pitchers.
I want what that guy has.
And it's worn into the broadcast booth, because I don't know if you saw this today on the broadcast. They did, the Yes did a side-by-side view, and David Cohn was talking about how Gary receives the ball and how Higgy receives the ball. Higgy in his traditional crouch, Gary in his one knee down approach. And David Cohn said, I would much prefer to throw to Higgy than I would Gary. It just looks like a better target in his massive glove. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, yeah, I buy that. It makes sense. But I go back to, who told Gary Sanchez to do this? It's not Gary Sanchez saying, I want to do one knee down. Tanner Swanson and the Yankees have instructed Gary Sanchez to do this. So if that's not how the Yankees pitchers want to be receiving the ball, why are they instructing their catchers to do this?
Because I'll go back to my conversation with Tanner, and if you haven't listened to it, you should definitely go back and listen to it, because it speaks exactly to this. We talked about Higgy staying in that squat, and the overwhelming reason why, method and the reason for the method that Tanner teaches is having a catcher comfortable in one spot, in one position, receiving the ball in that position with a 0-0 count, with an 0-2 count, with a 3-2 count, depending on what ball is coming, getting them in one comfortable in one position so that they're not going back and forth all over the place. That's what makes them receive the ball well, steal the strikes, the framing, because they're in the same position the entire time. That's the reason. So whatever the reason they got to Gary on one knee, clearly it was because, you know, him in a deep squat wasn't working as well on particular pitches. Whatever the reason for, they got to a conclusion and said, okay, this is better overall, and that's why we're going to do this. They said the opposite with Higgy. You're better in the squat. You're better in a deep squat. Stay there. Stay in that deep squat. And that's what he does. So the one knee is like the approach that they end up going with a lot more often. But if a guy is more comfortable in those other positions in a deep squat, then they stay with it. And that's what happened.
So the Yankees pitching staff has been better with Higgy as well. Like, it's also small sample. Like, everything's a small sample at this point still. But the Yankees, especially the starters, have been better throwing to Higgy. And yeah, that's because he's always catching Garrett Cole, and Garrett Cole is the best pitcher. But even if you take Garrett Cole out, I mean, Kluber had a great start. Domingo Germán had a great start. So like, these pitchers are throwing better to Higgy.
They're not getting every single pitch from the dugout. Like, the catcher's not getting every single pitch from the dugout. They're calling the game.
No, I was going to ask you, is this because of how, like, Higgy's a better receiver? Is he a better game caller? Is it just random that they're, like, throwing to Higgy? Like, what is going on?
There's nothing random about this at all. One of the reasons I was excited for Garrett Cole, not only that he's the best pitcher in baseball, some will argue the other guy in Queens.
Jacob DeGrom.
They're both right there.
Got an argument, yeah.
That's fine. They're both right there. But one of the fringe reasons why him coming over was that it was going to be very good for Gary Sanchez as well, because of the meticulous nature of Gary Cole.
Wow, you nailed that one. It's going to run Gary Sanchez out of town for good.
This was a hope that he was going to rub off, and that there would be understanding that Garrett Cole demands this level of intensity, this level of preparation, all of these things that I was hoping was going to be good for Gary Sanchez to improve his craft as well. Obviously not the case. Obviously not what's happening right now. Higgy's the guy that is the student of the game more to a point that he's doing the things that Gerrit Cole likes and is receptive to, and that feeds into having a good rapport as a battery mate. So clearly that's happening. The other thing is that yes, they're calling games. So Higgy's rated very high as a receiver. That's known. He's also calling a game clearly differently. The amount of the pitches in a different time, the amount of changeups that Kluber threw the other night, the game plan is potentially a little different. And I don't know. I haven't heard guys talk about this as much. I know CC was outspoken about it, about how Gary calls a great game, and he was very outspoken, got his back on this. But
there's no excuse for the game plan to be different, though.
Show me the
proof. Because there's meetings, pitchers' meetings, okay?
Okay.
Gary's in there, Higgy's in there.
Why that doesn't mean they're calling the same game. That doesn't mean in a moment when you're on the baseball field calling this, and you're in the moment and you're reading the situation.
So you're saying Higgy is making decisions on the fly based on what he's seeing from the pitcher and seeing from the batters?
Of course, that's what catchers do. They call the game. Yes, there's influence from the dugout. They talk about it. They talk about the cadence. They have the meetings. But at the end of the day, it's not like it's a scripted thing all the time. The catcher's
No, there's nothing scripted, but there's game plans. Okay, we know to this particular batter, he can't hit changeups
in a given
as well,
situation.
So we're going to pound changeups.
But in a particular count with a runner on base, if the shadows are doing a particular thing, go this
route. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
And if you see something, if you see something and you see a struggle, if you're picking up on something, go this route. And a lot of this is then instinctual, and it's about the communication between the catcher and the pitcher in game, and tweaking said strategy in game, in between, throwing a sign down so that they're on the same page in the middle of an at bat, so you know what's happening. That communication. There's a lot of different things that happen in game that cannot be communicated and planned out in a pitcher's catcher meeting during they have them.
I know all that. You're not wrong. I just think that it's a little overblown.
I don't think so at all.
Okay. Well,
all right, let's go to the next one.
The next one is that Aaron Judge is sore from playing too much baseball and traveling.
Yeah, they don't have pods in their planes. Isn't that the overwhelming reason why he has problems right now?
So
they need pods on their planes.
The dude was pulled in Tuesday's game. He did not play on Wednesday, and he started on Thursday and then pinch hit, struck out. He is now 0 for 10 with 7 strikeouts as a pinch hitter. So Boone said he's pretty sore the last couple of days, dealing with lower body stuff and travel. They asked him if it refers to his feet, his knees, his hamstrings, and he said probably a little bit of it. I think he's just beat up on the trip. He's been out there a lot. Yeah, man's been out there a lot. Starting April 10th, which is when he came back from his last minor injury, Judge played in 16 straight games, but there were 2 off days in that span. So now, in the year 2020, this is where we are with baseball players.
We're in 2021.
2021. This is where we are with baseball players. That playing 16 out of 18 days constitutes being out there a lot, and it's going to make you sore.
It is what it is. They're clearly going to give him these days. So whether we think that it's Aaron Judge asking for these days, or if he's just being way too frank and honest with any trainer and then they're flagging things, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but he seems still very much healthy. He's playing in the games.
The thing is, his numbers overall this year look pretty good. And after he came back from that last soreness, he did play 16 straight games, which is good.
Yes.
But now he's sore again. And the Yankees strategy seems to be, okay, we're not going to have him push through the soreness. We're going to sit him down for 2-3 days. And hopefully the soreness goes away and we don't have to put him on the IL. And you know what? If that gets him to a point where he can play 140 games, would that even be doable at this rate? Maybe.
Was it 140? It was close to that. One of my predictions was him going out and capturing that MVP that looks really good right now with Mike Trout doing what he's doing. But there was a qualifier for the amount of games. And I said that they would do this type of stuff, but he would play, I want to say it was 140. I got to look back.
If this gets him to 140 games this year, then you know what? That's really good. And that's good on them for coming up with this strategy. But I'm not convinced this is going to keep him off the IL.
Of course not, because none of this actually has any proven data to say that it's going to work, because it's the human body and nobody has any idea. It's just like them thinking, okay, like he's sore, let's give him a day to get through that soreness.
I was talking with Nick Kirby, George's box.
I said 140 games. I'm looking at my notes right now. I said 50 home runs, 140 games.
Mm-hmm. So I was talking with Nick Kirby on Twitter, and we were just like bitching about how there's just players don't play every day like they used to. And it's like, I feel like now we've reached the age where it's like old man yelling at cloud. Back in my day, they used to play every day and walk uphill in the snow. And I just looked at the last time the Yankees won a championship, and Robinson Cano played every day. Mark Teixeira, 156 games. Melky Cabrera, 154. Derek Jeter, 153. Nick Swisher, 150. Johnny Damon, 143. Hideki Matsui, 142. A-Rod, 124, but he missed the first month with hip surgery. And Jorge Posada, a 38-year-old catcher, played 111 games. The last time the Yankees won a World Series, you knew every freaking day who was going to be out there in the starting nine players. Now, with off days and load management and all this stuff, you just don't anymore. And I go back to that. Do you remember when Paul O'Neill on the broadcast, I think this was like a week ago, he was saying, you know, I was looking through players' games played, and you got Mike Trout played every team game this year, and you got Juan Soto every team game this year, and you got Mookie Betts every team game this year. And he went down the list of, like, if you want to call the top 15 or 20, he didn't do that many, but top 10 players in baseball, and they all played almost every day. So it's not like it's impossible. It just might be impossible for this Yankees roster.
We're on number three of the first five. And I think we've been doing this for a half hour. We're really good at talking a short amount of time. Number four. The Yankees fundamentals are dog shit. They suck.
They're terrible.
They suck so badly. So badly that it's embarrassing to watch. We can't talk about this for that much, that long, because I'm just going to get really angry, and I don't want to get really angry right now. But when you watch them, and just watching Tyler Wade try to freaking bunt today was an embarrassment. The fact that Tyler Wade can't bunt, it just proves to you how fundamentals and this Yankees team, that does not matter.
Doesn't exist.
They don't put any stock in fundamentals at all. Zero.
It's a shame. Zero. Because it's how they're going to lose eventually. They will lose because of this. Because you lose October baseball when you have your head up your ass.
With a ground, standing on second base, there were no outs, right? I think there were no outs. Standing on second.
It was a leadoff double. And the reason he got thrown out at third on a grounder, a shortstop, is because he's still thinking about his double when the ball's hit.
Ball's in front of him to the shortstop. He's on second base. And he just runs to third like he's invisible. Does he think he's invisible?
Maybe he thought there was a shift on and there was no shortstop. I don't know. Yankees have made 13 outs on the bases this season. 13 outs in less than a month of baseball. It's unacceptable. The Monday night thing with Judge running them out of an inning. Clint Frazier running them out of an inning, basically, because you have a leadoff double and then you make the first out at third base. Yeah, it's absolutely unacceptable.
And then even you go a little deeper on fundamentals. When you have a center fielder that's supposed to have a rocket arm, how many times do we hear about the 108 miles per hour for Aaron Hicks?
Dude, that was 2016.
That guy ain't here no more. That guy is no
noodle
longer
arm
here.
In center field. But he's got his Bernie arm Williams arm right now.
Yeah. He looks like Chad Pennington throwing across the middle. Like, there's no possible way that this guy could throw anybody out. That was not a deep fly ball. There should have been a play at the plate. It was a medium fly ball.
You're not asking for him to nail the runner at home. Just don't have it sail up the third base line on a lollipop. Like,
I'm asking him to nail the runner at home. I'm asking him to nail the runner at home.
You're asking for there to be a play.
But in order to do that, you have to actually throw it to the catcher to have any opportunity, whether it's late or not. In order for you to throw that guy out, you got to throw it to the person that's waiting for the ball to tag the other guy. And that can't be done when you throw it into the dugout.
The last one, I don't know how long this is going to take, but it's something I noticed. Michael King keeps pitching well, and the Yankees keep sending him back to the alternate site. This is now three relief appearances, 11 total scoreless innings. And the moment the game ends, every time they send him back to the alternate site. I understood the first one because he pitched six innings. He wasn't going to be available again for 5 days. But the last two times out, he's only pitched three and then two innings. Presumably, he could be available again soon. But now he's back in alternate site. And he's actually...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Looking pretty good. He's becoming the Swiss Army knife I predicted last year, and they keep sending him back to the alternate site.
Yeah, it's strange how they're using him right now, because after he only threw for two innings, and I'm very much a mop-up duty, like it was a throw day or something for him, and that's why he's in, he gets sent back down. And maybe that's the case. Maybe they're trying to keep him stretched out, and he's on a weird schedule right now. I don't know. And it may align for the AAA start of the season, right? That's coming up very, very soon.
May 4th is the AAA start.
So I don't know. Maybe they're trying to do something there. But the one thing that we did know walking into this season, or at least that we thought very, very securely, and we were confident about this, is that they were going to use that number five starting spot and you know, rotate guys in and out. And that's kind of what they're doing. Herman, I know we'll discuss in a bit, has looked good as of late, but again, so has Michael King. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what they're doing. It just seems like they're managing the time with his arm.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. One more time, BetterHelp.com/Bronx21.
Okay, looking ahead, number one, do not suck on the homestand. The last time the Yankees had a homestand and they played Tampa, we were expecting them to be able to fight back, not at the trot, still against your division opponent, division rival, some would say, and they were terrible. They were terrible. The Rays kicked their ass, and now they're going back home for a 9-game set, starting off with the worst team in baseball, the Detroit Tigers, with the cheating manager. Oh, and by the way, right after that, the manager's former team, who actually cheated, is coming into town to play the Yankees on May the 4th, the day that is, unfortunately, we had a lot of tickets reserved in right field, but those tickets are not available. So we were supposed to have that first game, that Tuesday game against the Astros in right field with an entire screaming section yelling at the Astros. It was going to be fun. We were going to be able to wear really dumb costumes because it was May the 4th. It was Star Wars Day. There was a lot of things that were going to be leading us to drinking a lot of beer on a Tuesday. And now that can't
be done. Any excuse to get drunk on a weeknight. Yeah, you're starting out with Detroit, the worst team in the American League by every statistical category, pretty much. You got to sweep that series starting out at home. No excuses to not sweep the Detroit Tigers. The number two thing is, I want to know, and this is going to come in Herman's next start, which will probably come Tuesday against Houston that you just mentioned, is Herman actually improved, or has he just faced two really bad teams his last two times out? Because he pitched against Cleveland. He pitched well, especially after that first inning, which was rough. Cleveland is third to last in the league in OPS plus. Then he went out and faced Baltimore and threw seven shutout innings. He didn't give up a hit until the fifth inning. He looked filthy, but Baltimore's offense is worse than the Cleveland Indians. They rank second to last in OPS plus. The only team that's worse than those two teams is Detroit, who the Yankees have to sweep. So we will find out, hopefully, next start against Houston, not a sucky offensive team, if Domingo Germán has actually figured something out and maybe recaptured first half 2019 form.
All right. Well, yes, that'll be, especially against Houston in that first game. Definitely want to see him him pitch well against that team. Cannot drop that first game. Don't like that. Don't like that one bit. And I hope the people that are at Yankee Stadium for that first game, give them hell. Absolute hell. Our number three, struggling hitters are starting to potentially break out. Is this actually a real thing? It might be. Gleyber. This, some would say you could get into the Hall of Fame if you bat 10 for 31 and you do that for 10 to 20 years. If you do that for a long period of time and you are a 300 hitter, you very well might be able to get into Cooperstown. It's possible.
Yeah, so he is 10 for his last 31, which is night and day to what he was before those last 31 at-bats. And he had a huge hit, biggest hit of the season for him, game time tying double in the ninth inning on Thursday. It's a shame it bounced over the fence because that's probably a go-ahead double if it doesn't right. become a ground rule double. So that's great. Stanton is...
Stanton didn't look good in that ninth inning, though.
Struck out on a terrible, you know, bad at bat in the ninth inning right before Gleyber, but he's 13 for his last 31 on a 7-game hitting streak. So it's a weird stat on Stanton. I saw this on Twitter. I forget who tweeted. I think it was one of the stat people. 9 for 19 with a double and a home run.
That was a really good call out. So this stat was tweeted out by one of the stat people.
The Yes Network stat people. I'm drawing a blank on who it is.
Got it.
Giancarlo Stanton is 9 for 19 with a double and a homer in the 4-game series in Baltimore, but he only drove in one run. So it's just like, I don't know. What does that tell you? Like,
what
RBIs?
Does that tell you? That tells you that the rest of the team is dog shit and there's nobody on base to drive in.
Yeah. Or he had an opportunity in the ninth inning and he whiffed. And then Clint Frazier. I mean,
we're seeing hard hit balls all over the field, not just home runs, but he's making good contact. He's squaring up the ball. He's barreling up that bitch and he's hitting the ball hard.
He's the number two hitter right now. I would keep him there. Clint Frazier, he changed up his stance slightly. They talked about this on today's broadcast. His foot is not basically pointed back at the catcher anymore. It's more just a natural position and he's slightly more open in his stance than closed. I don't want, he doesn't have, you know, 10 for 30 or anything like that, but he did have two extra base hits on Wednesday. And like
glimpses,
I said,
glimpses. Yeah. Yeah. It was, a meatball batting practice fastball that he hit out of the park, which is fine. That's what you should do with that ball. So at least he's taking that opportunity.
And he hit a ball right to him and he's parking it over the fence. He had a ball today to right field. He hit right to the wall and it was caught at the wall. So the next one, number four, when is Aaron Hicks going to get benched? Because I think I've seen enough and I think a lot of people have seen enough. 139 batting average on the season, 499 OPS. He has an OPS below 500, which is just so embarrassing. 0 for 4 on Thursday, and his defense is no longer elite. So when is he going to get benched?
Why do we have to have this conversation about every single player on the Yankees? It's so freaking old already, and we're not even in May yet. He looks so bad. And not only does he look bad, but he's being, he's a switch hitter. I get it. I understand that. But he cannot bat from the left side, like at all. He's not good.
That's
from
good.
The
Yankees
side.
Don't need any left-handed hitters.
Right. So, I mean, at this point.
No. Rugi Odor is going to bat first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all over the lineup just to break up those righties.
At this point, even though he's, quote, a switch hitter and he's done it in the past, he's not doing it right now. So, you know, let's just end that experiment for the time being. Get back on a path here. This just goes back to the Yankees being like so freaking hard-headed about their approach and not changing things up and just be like, oh, got to keep going. Got to keep doing the same thing over and over again until it changes back to the way it was before. And it's just not changing. It's just not changing. The approach is the same. And it's mind numbing. I've used that phrase way too frequently.
His at bats from the left side are just downright
horrible,
pitiful. He's not a competitive major league hitter from the left side.
No. Last one. And this is good news. And to be honest, like the entire pitching staff has been good. I'd say overall, especially when we're looking at what's happening on the offensive side of the ball.
Shout out Higgy for turning the pitching staff around.
The pitching staff is not the problem. Can Corey Kluber back up that good start? Because he looked very good. He did look like, it's not vintage Corey Kluber, but it was, you know, it was closer.
According to the New York Post, it was Cy Young Kluber.
He got deep into a game. He looked like he was controlling the game, and that's what you want to see. He's been talking about the fact that he was close. He's been saying he was leaning on that. He had said that in the past, that he felt like he was close. He definitely had the ability to go deeper into the game. I was shocked when he came back out for the seventh inning.
I was too.
But
it's like, why are we pushing it with Kluber there? This is the first time he went.
Oh, good. Push it. I tweeted more. I want as much as humanly possible from every starting pitcher if I see them pitching well. I want them to change their goddamn ways.
It was,
and he's going out for the seventh.
Go ahead runs were on base.
Fine. Change it. Do it. If he's going well, let him stay in the game. I don't care. It's going to burn us a couple times, but it's going to be good things happening a lot of times too.
I mean, it worked, but I don't know that I agree. I didn't agree with it at the time. It's not this philosophy of must take them out third time through the order, must do this after 100 pitches. It was just, I hadn't seen anything out of Corey Kluber leading up to this start to warrant pushing him. I understand he looked good in this start. He pushed him. Maybe we'll reap the rewards of that in the next 10 starts from now. I don't know that. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Again, Baltimore's terrible, so that was the only caveat in there. So bad team, bad offense, good Corey Kluber. Doesn't seem like that's a guy that needs to build on much, except for physical, how you feel physically and how you're executing your pitches. That's all I care about Corey Kluber. He doesn't care about what the other team is. He doesn't get mental victories. I just think that guy just needs to feel it and then execute it, and that's when we'll see he's back. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard to see when he's back.
All right, so the last thing I want to ask you, leave this episode with, is we discussed on Monday that the Cleveland series maybe was the wake-up call that they needed. They took 3 out of 4, even though they didn't look fantastic. They still took 3 out of 4 on the road and potentially woke up. Does this 4-game split with Baltimore change your mind?
Not really, because I still think they're playing better again, looking at the way that they've played in the past, they're definitely swinging the bat more. They're scoring more runs. I'm definitely going to win that over bet looking like into the season, into Detroit, or when we play Detroit, when Detroit comes in, they should be hitting the ball well. We're seeing guys that are, like we said, coming over, you know, getting over that schneid, starting to swing the bat a little bit better. So I do expect that to continue. And yes, they should have won the game against.
They should have won Monday, or not should have won Monday.
They should have won Thursday. If that ball doesn't get, if that ball does not go over the fence in a ground rule double, they probably win that game.
Okay, yeah. What I was going to say about Monday is not that they should have won, but who knows if Judge just parks his ass at second base, then who knows what happens next?
Who knows what happens, right? Some stupid shit, but that was a game that definitely is like a hello moment, more so than anything. Like that was more the moment than anything of like rock bottom. Not a motivational moment because Aaron Boone was yelling and acting like a little bitch.
You see our old friend Joe Girardi get tossed.
That was more of like a rock bottom moment. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing moment? That could turn something around. So hopefully they took it as that, not really a motivational thing. That's not how I'm seeing it. That's not how I'm going to spin that narrative. I will never, ever, ever give him credit for changing the season. Just so we know, when we're looking back at if that was it, it will never, in my opinion, ever, ever, ever be about him yelling. It'll be about him yelling, which was part of the rock bottom.
Yeah, it's going to be Higgy that turned the season around.
Higgy's backup catcher. Turning the season around.
So
just play Higgy more and you win more games. Isn't that the recipe here?
Did you see Girardi eject the umpire from the game the other
night? I am missing Girardi so much lately. And when I saw Bryce Harper guy
hit
the face.
Is he more jacked now? Does Girardi get more jacked?
He's like cut down. I think he's definitely like, I don't think he's more jacked. I think he's just like cutting the body fat now. So it looks it. Look, the guy, good. The guy is a specimen.
He looks good.
I miss him. I didn't think I would ever say it. Not that he ever had like bad things. There was always just like, there was always frustrations.
We
with
always
him,
were like, sure there's there gotta be better managers out there, but yeah,
he's a baseball guy. That's the biggest thing. I miss the baseball guy. And, seeing him carry about and back up Didi after Didi got drilled in the ribs. I miss Didi and I miss Girardi badly after watching that. So yeah,
that's for sure. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the Friday Fives. I enjoyed this one. And let's see. You sweep the Detroit Tigers. They stink like dicks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.